Welcome to the Savage Empire. I'm your host, Mike Trainer. Good to be back. Good to have you back. Happy Halloween. Today's episode is going to be very spooky, very scary. If you can brave it, let your imagination run wild. We're going to talk about what possibly can be the worst case scenarios for the New York Yankees coming into the 2022 season. And we start with this. Hal Steinbrenner decides that he is going to be very cheap this season. Here's a quote from Hal. Thank you, Hal. It is very funny. Very maniacal. Very sad. The Yankees decide the money that they're going to spend this year will be set on lowballing Anthony Rizzo, hopefully re-signing him, bringing him back, paying him very little, being that there's nobody in the minors to take his spot, or they wait too long and forced to go with DJ LeMahieu and Luke Voit. Ooh. We've seen this horror movie before. It doesn't end well. Next case scenario. Shortstop. And what some people might think, and maybe even I, might be sold, as long as it doesn't cost us our top young shortstop prospects. The Yankees try to go all in on Correa.
Oh, it burns! Oh, it burns! Oh.
And you would think, well, that's what we want. But the Yankees decide to go all in on Correa. Correa holds out, ends up going to Miami, who Derek Jeter will be willing to pay and give him the years he wants, way more than the Yankees. Ooh. And by then, Corey Seager will be gone. Trevor Story might be gone. Baez may be gone. All of the big name shortstops will be gone, and we will have to go in this next season with Tyler Wade. Ooh. Scary. Pitching. We decide to bring back injured players like Corey Kluber and Darren O'Day, who might very well come back with a player option, which he will most definitely pick up at $3.15 million. Here might be the most possible, likely scenario, and yet scary. We go in the center field position, where Aaron Hicks will play just long enough to make you think he's okay, and then get hurt, and then have to finish the season with 65-year-old Brett Gardner, who will most likely pick up his player option, which is scary enough. But scarier, though, Brett Gardner will turn into dust right before our own eyes. I could see a lot of people out there crying and getting mad already. And to this I say,
oh, no tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
Waste of good suffering indeed. Anyway, let me stop fucking around. That's pretty funny, though, nonetheless. Definitely have some worst case scenarios ahead of us. And people think that because they reset the tax threshold that they're just going to open up the bank. Now, you know that Hal is not just thinking about next season. He's thinking about seasons after that and where the money has to be spent. He always wants to have a little money set aside for that, you know, in case we need it break glass type of situations. I fully expect them not to trade for Olsen or Chapman. They'd have to really overwhelm Oakland, and a lot of you people are probably like, good, give them whatever the fuck they want. Well, that's just not going to happen. Cashman is certainly not going to want to trade the farm for people he's going to have to sign after next year. Now, free agency is usually the way he likes to go, but he is also cheap. And maybe not so much Cashman, but definitely Hal. Correa is probably number one on their list, and you can get him strictly for cash. But where is the line? Because remember, as reported on here many times, he is easily going to want Lindor money plus. All right, so you're figuring 10 years, $350 million is the starting point. Now, you may be able to get them for less years, but the average annual is still going to have to go up. So imagine 8 years, still 350. 7 years, still at 350. That really jacks up the payroll. All right? Now, you just wasted a big chunk of what you wanted to spend on one position. They have other needs. Okay? Right field. Aaron Judge is going to be a free agent next year. So is Joey Gallo. Now, Gallo is up for arbitration, and Judge is up for arbitration this year. Now, I would give Gallo the arbitration money and then try to trade him next year, because you're not going to re-sign him after next year, so see what you can get. Judge is the guy you want to keep. Now, Gallo is younger, but I think we can all agree that Judge is a much better player all around. So Judge is the guy that you have to consider, even going into his 31st year of life. I have to preference that. He's not Gardner playing in his 31st year. He's only 31. You have to decide now if now is the time to extend him or take a chance on losing him in free agency after next season. Now, if the Yankees go on to win the World Series after next year, or next season rather, well, Judge's contract just went up. That's a hell of a game of risk to play. Right now is when you should strike if the iron's hot. You might be able to get him for the years you want, and the money, you can overpay a little bit, but not too much. I think right now is the time they do it. And if they don't do it, this may bite them in the ass. Or they don't trade Gallo and they have him as a back, you know, keep him in their back pocket in case Judge walks, and then you can throw money at Gallo. And you still have Stanton who can play the right field too. So, I mean, there's options. But worst case scenario, you might lose both. And then what? You lost the heart of the team. The leader, the unquestioned leader of this team. He may not be the captain in name, but he's the captain that everybody knows. So then what? Where do you go? Well, you're still going to have Stanton, so Stanton's going to be your right fielder. Now, backtracking a little bit, catcher. Sanchez is up for arbitration this year. A lot of people would rather us not tender him at all. I honestly do not see Cashman doing that. I see Cashman bringing him back next year, because I don't see an upgrade free agency wise. Now, this is me talking. I think it's time to get rid of him, but these are the catchers that are available for free agency. Now, Posey has a club option, which will most definitely be picked up. He's a giant for life. I can't see him going anywhere. Zunino has a club option, which I really can't see the Rays not picking it up. He's been good for them. Manny Pena, Tucker Barnhart, which I hear a lot of people say they want him. He has a club option. Not sure how much it is, so we'll have to put a pin in that one for now. Christian Vasquez also has a club option. I kind of see the Red Sox picking that up. Yan Gomes, who's 34. Steven Vogt, 37. Jeff Mathis, 39. Roberto Perez, 33. Wilson Ramos, 34. Jose Lobaton, 37. Robinson Chirinos, who we had, so we know what he is. He's 37. Kurt Suzuki, 38. Chance Sisko is 27. Sandy Leone, 33. And Austin Romine, who we know we had him, is 33. There's not a lot of options out there. Gary is still young. I mean, he's not even 30 yet. And maybe with a new hitting coach and a new approach, and maybe if they let him catch with two fucking knees up like a normal catcher, maybe things will turn around. Worst case scenario, they bring him back and he just plays like he plays, occasionally runs into one and then does nothing. And pitchers who don't trust throwing to him. That's the worst case scenario. Best case scenario is they bring him back. He turns into, you know, what he was once was. You know, or, you know, you see what you got in the minors. We got a ton of catching prospects down there. I know Austin Wells is not ready. He's only played in high A ball. So, you know, he's got a ways to go. Problem is with our prospects, right now would be the perfect time to bring these kids up, and they're not ready because they're all too young, the top ones anyway. That is the problem right now, because in a couple years when they are ready, are we going to have these guys or spots available for them? So we don't know. First base, and we went through this list before. Now, the Atlanta Braves are at a 3-1 advantage here in the World Series and possibly can win tonight, or you'll know if they won or lost by the time you listen to this podcast, either tomorrow or whenever during the week. Freddie Freeman leads, I mean, by a large margin in terms of available first baseman. He's 32 years old, but I would throw money at him like you wouldn't believe. I don't care. 6-year deal, I'd pay him. I'd give him $36 million a year or something like that. I mean, this guy is a stud. He's a guy you pay for, because I think he can be good throughout the whole contract. He's been proven to be very reliable. Brandon Belt is 34. He might be another low-key type of guy, maybe, but he's right-handed. I believe he's right-handed. But I think that the Yankees' first choice will probably be Anthony Rizzo, who is 32, who may have a bit of a bounce back year. There really isn't too many other options after that. Yuri Gurriel is on there. He's 38. Fucking guy's 38. He has a club option. Not sure what it is. Don't care. I don't want a Gurriel on this team. Belt, I would keep an eye on, but I don't know if the Giants will let him go. Even though he's 34 and he's older than Rizzo or Freeman, you can get him cheaper than Freeman for sure. Not sure how much Rizzo's going to want, or what Belt to want, but those are the three guys. Keep an eye on. Second baseman will be Glaber, who I expect to have a bounce back year, feeling more comfortable in a position that he has played. Worst case scenario is he just doesn't hit the ball anymore. Now, his home runs have dropped drastically, and there has to be a reason why. Now, we never really thought of him as a home run hitter, but when he bursted onto the scene, he became a home run hitter. And when you hit damn near 40 home runs in a season, you're expected to at least produce somewhat close to that. He can't even crack 20, and that is scary. So his defense is suspect, although he plays much better at second base. But we can't put him back at shortstop. His shortstop days are over. That experiment failed. Cashman has basically said so. Worst case scenario is he can't handle second base, but at least we have DJ who can play excellent second base. I don't know what we're going to do with Glaber, but if he ends up being worst case, we can't trade him, because even though he's young, there's a book out on him now. He's been playing for 3-4 years now. People have seen what he can do. And if he can't hit, if he doesn't have much power, which is, you know, basically what this game is about now, then he is not very reliable in this lineup. I mean, it just is what it is. He needs to have a bounce back season in the worst way. Shortstop. Now, this is where it gets crazy because it's Correa, Story, Seager, Baez, Jose Iglesias, Freddie Galvez, who I kind of see the Yankees maybe keep an eye on him for short term until the kids are ready. I think I'd rather have him than Andrelton Simmons. Pete Cosma's out there. Andrew Romine, Devin Marrero, garbage. Pretty much after Simmons, it's trash. Correa is the guy you get. He's obvious. I mean, he's 27. He's younger than Seager. His 6.6 WAR, hits in the playoffs as we're watching, is a proven clutch performer despite the cheating allegations. And I'm not changing my stance. I don't like him personally. If he ends up on the Yankees, obviously I will cheer for him because that's what I do. I cheer for my team to win. And if he's part of the winning, then that's the way it goes. Do I want him here? No, but I'll take him. But like I said, I don't want it to be at the expense of the future. Now, reports have seen that the Yankees are probably going to go after Corey Seager because he's left-handed. He has a 5.5 WAR. Just a year older than Correa, so the age difference really isn't that much. But then people are talking about a $300 million contract for Seager. And I'm just mind-boggled by that. I don't see it. I mean, I don't know if he's going to get it. I don't want the Yankees to spend that much money. And if you are, then I'd rather have Correa. You know, I mean, it depends on the years and the amount of money and the annual, I'm sure. But you got to remember this. Keep this in the back of your mind. All right, because this, what I'm about to say, is the absolute worst case scenario heading into next year. All right, Correa or Seager. Now, these are guys who are going to make over $30 million a year. All right? Okay, and let's say they decide, well, you know, the bank is open. Now we're going to extend Judge. And he is going to be an over $30 million a year player. I can't see him signing for anything less than that. That's just the way it is. When he is healthy, and he's proven to be healthy this year, he is one of the best players in baseball. That's just the way it is. So if they give him a contract, now you got Cole, who makes over $30 million. You'll have Correa or Seager, who will be making over $30 million. Judge, who will be making over $30 million. Stanton, who makes, I think, $28 million. I know that Miami pays for a lot of it, but still, it's high enough. I think he ends up with the Yankees part of the deal. It's like $22 million a year. Okay, but that's $22 million added to what I just said. So that's, what, 36? Let's keep it even. So it's 36 for Cole. Let's say 35 for Correa because it's going to be 350 or more. Let's not kid ourselves. So that's 36 and 35 is $71 million right there. That's two players. Okay, Judge, we'll add another. Let's keep it at 30. That's $101 million a year. All right? And on top of that, the 22 from Stanton, it's $123 million a season for four people on this team. I'm not even adding what everybody else makes. And we do have guys that make some money. Chapman's on his last year. Britton, who will be out the whole year, will still be getting $14 million a year. This is our worst case scenario where we are so strapped financially. And that if the team doesn't come together and win, that we have nowhere to move. that we will be begging for guys to hit their free agency and leave, and then we'll be bringing kids up, which will trigger the rebuild. That is the worst case scenario. I would love to gradually introduce some of the young kids at the same time. Now, I'm not sure what all the arbitration numbers are going to bring in this year, but that's going to be a lot of money. So let's see if I can find that out real quick, because this will go into the worst case scenario. Now, here are the arbitration guys. Tylon, Gallo, Sanchez, Judge, Green, Peralta, Montgomery, Urshela, Voigt, Torres, Frazier, Andujar, Wade, Holmes, Lasagna, Herman, Lucas Lucqui, LeCastro, Higashioka. I think they don't tender LeCastro. They don't let him go. He's not worth anything to us. On here it says they should let go of Wade, but I really don't see them letting go of Wade unless they get a big-time shortstop and then possibly a third baseman. We'll get to that in a second. And then you decide whether you want to keep Wade, who will be cheap, or do you want to turn Gio Urshela into your super utility guy on the bench? Although he can't really play second base. Not that I've seen him play second base. And Tyler Wade can play just about every position, probably first base too if you need him to. Hell, I'm sure he can pitch if need be. I mean, it seems like he can do it all. He's not that great of a hitter, but that's the decisions they have to make. So the projection here is Tylon will be making 4.7, Gallo get 10.2, Gary will make 7.9, which is crazy to me. How do you, I mean, I understand arbitration basically means you're going to get a raise, but he was making 6.5 and they're going to give him, you know, a bump up to 7.9. That's seems like a lot. Judge will be making $17.1 million. So if you extend him and you give him years and you can keep the average annual to around 20, 25, that is a home run for me. Now, whether he'll go for that, I don't know. But that is best case scenario. Worst case scenario is these are their final arbitration years. And like I said before, you might end up losing him. Especially if the Yankees can put it together and win a World Series, he will price you out. You will have to overpay now to keep your guy. There's not going to be a hometown discount. That just doesn't happen. He's going to be 31 years old. He's going to hit free agency one time and one time only in his life. He's going to maximize what he can get. And that's just the way it is. And I don't blame him. I mean, it doesn't necessarily fit with my idea of how to build this team, but I don't blame him at all. Now, Green will get a bump up to $4.1 million. You have to. Peralta, I think, pitched pretty goddamn good, 1.7. Monty will make 4.8, which is nothing for a fifth starter. That's really nothing. Urshela will get bumped up to 6.2. Voigt is what they're going to have to decide. Now, he'll get up to 5.4. Honestly, there's enough guys, unless they make significant changes on this roster, if they keep Voigt, he's really a backup first baseman / DH, and he's not your everyday DH. Now, he really brings nothing if he's not playing every day. So you have to decide if he's even worth keeping, even at the 5.4 million the 5.4 million. And these are just estimates. It could be more, it could be less. I don't know. But you have to decide. Because if they bring back Rizzo, he's your guy. And LeMahieu is going to be the guy bouncing around. He's going to spell Rizzo at first, and he's going to spell Glaber when he's slumping. He's going to spell Gio Urshela a third, or the possible new third baseman, or they might make DJ the permanent third baseman. But not if Gio's still there. So there's a lot of moving parts because they need to get better. But they're locked in with DJ, and he kind of is the linchpin here for everything that can go wrong, because you got to play him just about every day. So when they first signed him, he was supposed to be the Swiss Army guy who played first, second, and third, and you just rotate them around, giving a guy off, you know, every other day or whatever. Now, Voit, there's really no room for him. So I expect them to, I expect the Yankees to try to trade him, to be honest. I really do. I honestly don't see him on this team, at least for most of the season. Maybe up to the trade deadline. Hopefully they can get rid of him beforehand. I know injuries has been his downside, but when healthy, he can hit, and he can hit a ton. But he can't stay healthy, and this is why the Yankees might get screwed here with this. So it's either you non-tender him, and he becomes a free agent, and he's gone. Somebody will sign him. Somebody will take a flyer on him for, you know, $6 million, something like that. That's nothing for a year or two. So they're going to have to decide. Glaber is going to get his raise. They're not giving up on him. Clint Frazier. Now here's, they're saying $2.4 million. And a lot of people are like, obviously don't tender him. He has no trade value. Now he is totally rock bottom with this organization, but that doesn't mean that they've given up on him. Now, obviously, if they tender him a contract, then that to me signifies that he will be healthy. And if he's healthy and he lights it up in the minor leagues, then maybe you can trade him later on. And that's the best case scenario. Worst case scenario is you signed him to a, you know, a raise and you're paying him $2.5 million to be in the minor leagues. Because there's really not a space for him, especially when Gardner will be back. And he will be back because he's selfish. And he just won't retire. And, hey, listen, it sounds like I'm harsh, but, you know, guy's 38 years old. You know? It's time. But the Yankees fucked up and gave him that stupid option year, which, of course, he's not going to decline. They're thinking they're going to get him off cheap. To me, he's robbing them of how much money he takes. Yeah, I know he's dependable, he's healthy, but you know what? He can't hit anymore. All right? He can catch the ball. I mean, that's the bare minimum of what he can do. And to me, it's time to move on. We have other guys who can do the bare minimum. Yeah, I know. Clint Frazier can't even do that. He can if he's healthy. Besides, we have Andujar, who will also be tendered. I can't see them not tendering him because they're still working on him becoming more of an outfielder. Apparently his third base days are over, but they're trying to turn him into a utility guy. He's a guy who can hit major league level. Problem is the Yankees have no room for him. His injuries have played him basically right off of this team. What is going to happen to Andujar? Same situation. These guys have to light it up in Scranton. And then hopefully teams will take notice of it and get traded. Or, you know, when the inevitable injuries happen, they get call-ups and they light it up in the majors. That's why you re-sign these guys. Now, Clint Frazier's injuries, you know, his head injury and whatnot, but the doctors will have to wait and find out. Now, he seems to be doing much better. I've asked him a couple times on Twitter and he hasn't really responded about it. So, I mean, I asked him not to say in detail, but just, you know, to specify if he's doing good. So we'll have to wait and see. Tyler Wade is a guy who, it's funny to say this, is almost indispensable because of the amount of positions he can play. And whatever offense he gives you is gravy. And for $700,000, that's a good deal. Clay Holmes, that's another guy you bring back. Lasagna is a no-brainer. He will most likely end up being our future closer, and hopefully the transition starts this year. I think he's ready. Herman, $2.1 million for him, who has potential to be a good, I see, you know, I don't know. They'll most likely tender him a deal. I can't see them not. Lukey, I don't know why I have trouble saying his name. Yeah, you bring back. He was a good surprise. And if he sucks, you know, then, you know, this will be his last year. LeCastro, see ya. Higashioka is a no-brainer because First off, he's Cole's favorite guy, even though that shouldn't matter anymore, not after the way Cole pitched in the wild card game. But until we have something better, you know, Higgy making $1.2 million or, you know, more or less around there is nothing. Now, Gardner, we said, will pick up his player option for $2.3 million, which is insane to me. Jolie Rodriguez has a $3 million club option with a $500K buyout. Paid by the Rangers if the Yankees decline the option. So it doesn't cost us not to decline it. I don't know if he's pitched well enough to come back, but my guess is that $3 million for 1 year is probably not a whole lot. So I think they'll bring him back. Now, O'Day has a $1.4 million player option, $700K buyout. Yankees have $3.15 million club option if O'Day declines his player option. So it looks like it's one of those. If he declines his 1.4, the Yankees can buy him out for 700K. Or they can pick up the club option at 3.15, which they won't. And unless he retires, because there's hint of him speculating whether he was going to retire or not. You know, it's up to him, obviously. I think he picks up his option. I mean, it'd be nice if he retired. He really didn't offer us much last year. And I liked him. I liked the signing because of, you know, how effective and crazy his throwing motion is. But he got hurt, and he missed damn near the whole year, and it really was a waste of money. So that's where we're at. Rizzo's a free agent. Kluber is a free agent. Andrew Heaney elected to be a free agent. Obviously, Heaney will not be back next year. I know that's a downer. Worst case scenario is they bring him back at a lot of money. I know that's not going to happen. Scary thought, though, wasn't it? He jumped. Kluber, for the $11 million they paid him this year, no thank you. Even, you know, thanks for the no-hitter. But we're good, bro. You can go somewhere else. Your injuries and everything, and he looks to be sadly towards the end. Rizzo is a guy that the Yankees, I'm sure, would love to have back. And like I said, I'd rather have Freeman, but when the Braves win the World Series tonight or the next game, he's going to be priced out. And the Braves will have no choice but to re-sign him, and he knows that. He's gonna cost them a lot of money. So that's just the way it is. So, like I said, you have to think about looking at this team like a chessboard, okay? Because even though we need this team to be more athletic and be able to do more things, you know, maybe steal some bases, hustle. I know that's a crazy concept. Play better defense, obviously, and shortstop is their number one concern. Center field is their second, and catching is their third, because I feel like they can wait on catching, because catching has always been a defensive position anyway. Whatever offense you get is good, even though they consider Gary more of an offensive player. I almost rather tender Gary, keep him as a DH type player, have Stanton play the outfield more, have Gallo and Judge play center more, you know, or, you know, have a rotation, hopefully can keep Hicks healthy, or trade Hicks, because he has a very movable contract. Now, if the Yankees decided to move on from Hicks, I know his injuries have been a concern, but last year was kind of a fluke. I mean, who knows what would have happened? But he got hit in his wrist and it tore a tendon. I mean, that's just bad luck. That's not him just getting hurt. That's just bad luck. So I think they'll be able to move him. The Yankees will probably have to eat some of his contract, maybe as much as half, which isn't much. He only makes like $10 million a year, which is pretty good for a center fielder. Now, if he's healthy, he's worth that. If he's not, he worth shit. Now, that is the problem. Being able to move him, who would take him? And then who would we go after? Because let's see who's out there. Center fielder, Sterling Marte, is 33 years old. Now, he has a 6.7 WAR, but he's going to cost you more than $10 million. Now, is he a stopgap? Is he a guy that you signed for, let's say, 3-4 years? Is he going to want more than that? I don't know what his demands are. These are things people have to think about. Chris Taylor's out there, 31, 4.5 WAR. And after that, it drops. It drops a lot. Gardner being the next best with a 2.0, and we know he's already going to be on the team, but he cannot be our starting center fielder next year. This is crazy. We can't have it. Is Floreal a possibility? Is he finally going to get a little respect? I think he can play at this level. I think he can hit, but we may have to take our lumps with him hitting. Now, his numbers in AAA were not that great. But really, he stayed healthy this year, finally. That's a big step in my eyes. I think he can catch the ball, and he's fast. Now, is he a future starting center fielder? No, maybe not. Not on this team, maybe. But surely, he has a better upside than Gardner, and they're both lefty. So, you know, but that might be for the next following year. We'll have to see. People want Marte. He is definitely going to cost you more than Hicks. Is that where we want to go? Is he more athletic than an Aaron Hicks? I mean, that's the bottom line. We have to wait and see. Worst case scenario is they stick what they are, Hicks and Gardner. And Hicks gets hurt, and we get shit out of Gardner, like this year. We're living the worst case scenario currently. Has to get better. Outfielders other than that are pretty much set. There's really not a lot of movement to be had. So really it comes down to catcher, shortstop, and center field. Now, if we wanted to possibly upgrade at third base, here's a name that people want. It's Jose Ramirez. And he has a club option. Now, the Indians are cheap, but they're not stupid. They're most definitely going to pick up his club option and then possibly trade him, because then they're off the hook for the salary and they're going to get back a ton of prospects, obviously. Arenado can opt out. Seager has a club option, but it doesn't seem like they're going to pick him up. So he's going to be a free agent. Then there's Chris Bryant, who I think the Red Sox are going to go after. They would love to have him. And after that, it gets, you know, a little less. Really, I mean, at this point, after that, you're better off staying with Urshela, who won't cost you nearly as much. This is why I think they'll be fine with Urshela and DJ splitting time at third. But if they really wanted to, can you imagine a left-side infield being Kyle Seager and Corey Seager? Your third base and shortstop? How crazy would that be? But that's a possibility of what could happen. Now, I'm not sure what Kyle Seager's going to cost you. He's silently, I mean, because, you know, how many of us watch Mariner games? The West Coast time and everything else. He's had a pretty decent career. He's going to cost some money, too. Easily going to be around $20 million. That would be my guess. If Corey Seager wants 30, what do you think Kyle's going to cost? So, you know, let's say 30 and 20, that's $50 million right there. That's a lot of money. Jose Ramirez is 29, has a 9.8 WAR. Obviously, is your preferred option, but that is going to cost. And you don't think that Cleveland is going to want to rape us? It isn't going to be one of those, you know, Miguel Andujar, Clint Frazier bullshit trade offers I see a lot out there. Hey, they're major league players. Yeah, okay. Cleveland had Clint Frazier for one. They're not going to take him back. Worst case scenario, we do nothing. And we go what we got. And if injuries happen to Urshela again this year, or DJ again this year, then we're kind of fucking screwed. And this is why having a Tyler Wade becomes important. They're going to spend money this year, but I don't see them really opening the vault. I think they're thinking in terms of we need to be able to have flexibility here. So I don't know. I mean, it's crazy, but worst case scenarios on this team are very possible. People need to believe that a lot of these players might price themselves out of the Yankees range. And that they'll say, hey, we tried, but you know, they wanted more money than we were willing to spend. The market, you know, wasn't to what we thought it would be or what it should be. And these guys were getting way more than we valued them. And so we ended up trading for Didi. And some people might be like, yeah, Didi's back. You don't want Didi back. The Didi of 3 years ago is long gone. He's fallen off the mountain. That's not a win. You know? It's not. Stopgaps are good on this team if the team can gel around that and actually, you know, produce. Otherwise, you got to spend money. Personally, I don't want to see them get rid of their top prospects, who I think can contribute. A couple of them, Luis Gil, can contribute next year. Medina is getting one step closer. That kid is a stud. Volpe, Peraza, I know you guys don't want to hear the name. I know you're tired of hearing it, and they're just prospects, and we should trade all our prospects because that's what we do, right? No, we shouldn't do that because we're not going to have $400 million payrolls every year. That's not going to happen. You need to be realistic. Here's the worst case scenario. We trade all our top prospects for guys and they suck. We trade all our top prospects for, you know, Jose Ramirez and he gets hurt. Or he ends up being a bust. Because he's about to be 30. Plus, I feel like we kind of need another starting pitcher. And that's going to cost some money. Now, Scherzer is, I guess, the best available. Actually, I'd rather have Robbie Ray, but that is really going to cost you money, and I don't see Toronto letting him go cheap. Gausman is out there, and it probably costs you some money. Kershaw I wouldn't touch. Bauer you can't touch, and he's not going to opt out. Eduardo Rodriguez is enticing, left-handed. You know how the Yankees love left-handed pitching. Stroman is out there. I know a lot of us don't like him. After that, it kind of falls off the table. You know, Heaney has a 2.5 WAR. That's insane. Worst case scenario, we bring back, or we sign garbage. We sign injury guys. Syndergaard out there. He has a 0 WAR. Verlander's out there. I wouldn't be surprised if they take a chance at him. Oh, we're going to get the Verlander. Okay, he's going to be 39. And without the sticky shit, how effective is he going to be? Because I'm thinking back to Detroit when he sucked. And they were dying to get rid of him. And then all of a sudden he goes to Houston. He's the best pitcher in baseball. Come on. That doesn't happen at that age. We knew that was bullshit then. But my advice, anybody coming here is,
I got to warn you, you're doomed to stay. Go. Go.
I know that was a little bit much, right? A little bit overdramatic. That was from Friday the 13th, by the way. Anyway, maybe not doomed, but at this current rate, the Yankees are doomed if they don't spend wisely. Because you're thinking, oh, it's not your money. What the fuck do you care? Well, yeah, you're right. It's not my money. But you people are going to be the first to be booing these guys because they make a lot of money and they end up not hitting a home run every bat, just like you did to Stanton, who deserves no boos for the rest of his life anymore. This guy is a gamer when it's time to show up. But Correa will be an easy target because most of us don't like him anyway. And if he doesn't come here and instantly elevates this team, you're going to be on him. Don't act like you won't. You know you will. These are the worst case scenarios. It is scary, right? I mean, no, you know, no bullshit here. I mean, you know, all bullshit aside, rather. It is scary to think about what can and will most likely happen. Best case scenarios, well, you know, we'll do that maybe next week after the World Series. We'll talk about that. Worst case scenarios, because it is Halloween, and Halloween is all about the scares. What could be more scary than the Yankees doing nothing or doing very little and trying to pass it off as, well, we got better. The analytics say we got better. When the eye test tells you same old bullshit, that is the most scariest thing I can think of. We lose out on these big-time shortstops. We sign garbage or we don't sign anybody at all. We end up with Andrew Velasquez or Tyler Wade as our short, our starting shortstop, or Gio Urshela as our starting shortstop, and then we go out and get a third, an average third baseman. Now, if this was a rebuilding team, I'd be fine with that. But this is a team whose window is very, 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 I don't know how many more times I can say very, and you probably didn't need me to say it more than once. Very close to being shut, painted, closed, and nailed shut. They're very close to it. If you don't think they are, you're crazy. This is why they're making all, well, making, as I'm saying that they will make moves. This is why potentially they will be making moves this offseason. Okay? The scariest thing is they do not make any moves. Or the moves they make are just bringing back the players they already have right now. Spending money on Anthony Rizzo and he does nothing or average, which is a very real possibility that his best years might be gone. At 32, it's most likely that it is. He does just enough. Or just play slightly average where you expect more out of a first baseman. But you re-signed him. And now you're going to have him for 3 or 4 years. 5 at the most, maybe? I can't see more than that. At $20 million a year. Plus. If they can get him under 20, I'm fucking sold. But I think he was making 16 or 17 now. You don't think he's going to be looking for a raise and it's going to start with twos? Come on. You know, an average to sub-average Gleyber Torres at second base is what we're watching. It's not that it's not possible. It's likely. Unless the new hitting coach, whoever that will be, straightens him out. We go into the season with Gary, who has subpar defense. Yeah, he can throw people out. He can frame a pitch. Ooh, that's great. That looks great on a spreadsheet. I don't know how many games that saved us or won. I can remember. Occasionally can hit a home run every now and then. I know batting averages don't matter, but he hits 200 or less. I mean, I know I go by OPS and other people go by other stats, but all I'm saying is it's not impressive. Then there's shortstop, which we currently don't have. Our current shortstop is Gio Urshela. The most happy fella. Who's going to get a raise? Maybe they can trade him. once they figure out what they want to do for short and third. If they want to bring him back for third, or they want to try to upgrade. I'm sure he has some value to somebody. He's a great glove. Get hit. But the team needs to do stuff. So let's say they don't do anything. Now you're going to have a rotation of Tyler Wade and Gio Urshela. And then third base Urshela and DJ LeMahieu. And Tyler Wade. These are very real possibilities. Because, you know, some of the players out there in free agency might not be worth going to get. It might not be worth spending. It might not be rated higher in their, you know, their books and the computers rather than the guys they have already. Or can bring back. Hicks is their starting center fielder as of right now. Expect him to be ready. Injuries are what scare us. That is the biggest X factor. Is, like I said before, can you move him? Is he movable? Some people said he, you know, they'd rather him be the fourth outfielder. Well, Gardner is going to be the fourth outfielder next year. Technically the fifth, because you're going to have a rotation of Gallo, Judge, Stanton, Hicks. That's four right there. Gardner is your fifth outfielder. So if you make Hicks your fifth outfielder and Gardner your sixth outfielder, which is to me is wasting spot, anything more than five outfielders, and Tyler Wade being your emergency outfielder, well, who do you get? Are they going to spend money on a center fielder? Are they going to spend a lot of money? They're not going to get the guy you think they're going to get if they're spending big-time money on a shortstop. I guarantee you. They're not going to add a ton of guys on this team that are going to make $25 or $30 million a year. More than, you know, they have to, which is, you know, I think they're prepared to do it for shortstop. They're not prepared to do it for center field. They're certainly not prepared to do it for catcher or first base. And maybe they can make trades. We don't know what Cashman's going to do, but the scariest thing is they do nothing, which people need to prepare themselves for. It is entirely possible. I know I started off the episode as kind of a joke, but, you know, the more I talk about it, the more kind of scared and nervous I get. And that's almost too much to bear. I'm going to have to turn a light on in here because I'll tell you, I feel like Cashman's behind me and Hal is behind me, and they're both whispering in my ear saying, "You're goddamn right, we're not going to do anything because it's the player's fault. It's not my fault. It's not the guys we bring in here. We expect more out of our guys. This team is built to win right now. They've just fallen short the last 5 years." That's scary. When the players underperform, is it the players, the coaches, or the guy who brought that team together? Maybe it's a little bit all three. Boone is back. He's going to have basically new coaching staff other than Matt Blake and, I guess, Mendoza. Needs a new hitting coach, and hopefully it's just one hitting coach who, you know, I don't need to know that there's two hitting coaches on this team because that seemed redundant to me, but whatever. And, you know, you have to prepare for the inevitable injuries that will happen on this team. Because Judge is always a guy who you have to worry about. Stanton is always a guy you have to worry about. These are guys you got to manage. You know, Gallo has been pretty durable, but he's had injuries before. Hicks, obviously, you know, so, I mean, we don't have five Brett Gardners on this team. We have one too many. And, you know, catching is a big thing. The pitching staff doesn't trust Gary. Is he worth bringing back, even though he's going to be making under $10 million a year? Which, you know, might be too much for the Yankees to overlook because the upgrade might cost them more. And, you know, are they going to trade for somebody? Kids in the minor leagues aren't ready. So I expect Gary to be back. And that is scary because it might most likely will be the same old Gary, who might get hot for a little bit and then will be cold for a lot and get hot and then will be cold for a lot. I know that sounds like a repeat, but I mean, you know, you've watched it. And I'm just going around in circles, but that is fucking scary. And I think I've scared you long enough. I'm going to end it there. Everybody be safe Halloween. Hope you and your kids and your families, everybody have fun. By the time you hear this, you'll probably be done trick-or-treating. Hope you guys got a lot of candy. And we'll be back next week, and maybe we'll talk about the best-case scenarios on everything, okay? And then we'll open up Hal's wallet, and we'll spend it, all right? How fun does that sound, okay? Sleep tight, everybody. Hopefully this episode doesn't scare you too much. I'll see you next week. Love you all. And, of course, let me backtrack. Can't say what I got to say first. Subscribe, listen, follow, comment, review, wherever you get your pods from. Follow me on Twitter at Savage Empire Pod. I look forward to talking to new people every week. I love it. It's great. A lot of good baseball minds out there. Some bad, but mostly great. Of course, if you're listening to this, you're one of the good ones. It's obviously the people who don't listen to the show who are the bad ones. We know this already. It's true. I'm going to be looking to book some guests on here soon. Hopefully in the next month when things start to slow down and there's not a lot of news, you know, because we got to keep an eye on the labor, which is another scary thing. But yeah, pay attention. Stick with me, all right? Where, you know, if you want to be on the show, let me know. I'll put you on. I got no problems. I love to hear other people's perspectives on things. Maybe tell me if I'm wrong or right, you agree or not. I love it. That's what engagement's all about. Remember, this is the People's Yankee Show. I'm not big time yet. And I don't forget you, unlike some other shows. So, anyway, on that note, I'll say it again. Happy Halloween. Keep a light on tonight once you listen to this episode, because you're going to be thinking about it and dreading it all along. But anyway, until next week, go Yankees.
Thanks for listening to The Savage Empire. Subscribe and leave a comment wherever you listen. Follow us on Twitter @ Savage Empire Pod. And of course, go Yankees.